You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast. As we begin a new week, it is Monday, April 8th, 2019. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. It's great to have you with us today as we continue to move towards the NFL draft, now just a couple of weeks away. And today also begins the offseason program for the Jets. They're actually allowed to start a little bit earlier than the other teams because they have a first-year coach. So teams that have a new coach are allowed to hold an extra mini camp, which means that they're allowed to start their offseason program a little bit earlier than everybody else. The Jets actually were allowed to start their offseason program a week ago. They were allowed to start the offseason program last Monday, but they chose to start it today because if they started it last Monday, they'd have to put in a week break. So they just decided they'll start it today, and they'll just keep conducting the offseason program straight through to its conclusion with no break. And it's probably, in all honesty, the start of the offseason program is kind of an overhyped day. I mean, first of all, it's the offseason program, so you're not really going to get a ton of news out of it. Second of all, it's all voluntary anyway up until the final stage, which is the veterans mini camp, which is mandatory. But that's the only thing that's mandatory. That'll be coming up in a few weeks. We're a few weeks away from that, where the team has to get together for a mini camp. That takes place after the draft as well. One of the big reason that this is not much to talk about is we are only beginning phase one of the offseason program, which essentially means that this is just strength and conditioning drills. This is, a lot of, weightlifting, stuff like that. Injured players, rehabbing. I mean, there's not really a lot of football activity that's actually happening. So, to the extent you'll learn anything, it's not going to be over the next few days. Maybe we'll get some quotes. Depends on when the team lets the media into the facility. I'm not exactly sure what the schedule is for that. So maybe we'll get some quotes from somebody here or there. But it's a step closer to training camp. It's another step on the NFL calendar that gets us closer to the season. It's a milestone, but outside of that, not a big deal. Not really much to discuss for the purposes of our show. And what I'm going to talk about today on our show is the draft, but particularly the draft as it pertains to players who are already on the roster. At the end of the draft every year, there are lists that come out for each team, and they talk about the winners and losers of the players who are on the roster. And typically the winners are players who the team did not draft a player at that position, so they're not going to be replaced. And the losers are players whose replacement was drafted that year. I'm going to take it in a little bit of a different direction today, because I think that this draft, depending on where the Jets go, could help certain players on the roster, help make their jobs easier. So those are the guys I'm going to talk about. Who are the players who could be winners by the time the draft ends, depending if the Jets draft help at a certain position? So that's what we'll talk about, a handful of players today on the Jets who may come out as winners for the draft because they have new teammates in a couple of weeks, some rookies who might help them perform their job a little bit better. And I'll start with the obvious, which this is usually the guy who is the obvious player when we talk about lists like this, and that's Sam Darnold. And I think, no matter who the Jets draft on offense, odds are that player could potentially help Sam Darnold, could make Sam Darnold a winner in the draft. And the quarterback position is, it's the most important position on the field. And as when you're talking especially about a young quarterback, a quarterback entering year two, he's going to have to lead the team. He's going to have to be he's the most important player on the team. He's going to have to execute. But I think it's important for each team to make, especially when we're talking about a quarterback entering year two, to make the job as easy as possible, to limit the difficulty the quarterback faces. And that manifests itself in a couple ways. It manifests itself, can you protect the quarterback? Can you put a good line in front of the quarterback? Can you give the quarterback a run game? Even giving the quarterback a run game can be really helpful. It can be something that really assists him, because if you can establish the run, it makes the defense's job a lot tougher. It takes things off the plate for the defense, because first of all, you stay out of bad downs and distance where it's an obvious throwing down, where the defense can start throwing all sorts of exotic fronts, exotic coverages, confusing the quarterback. So the, I mean, that's number one. But number two is if you establish the run and you force them to bring an extra guy down into the box, it just really limits the number of looks the defense can give. I mean, the defense cannot throw a lot of exotic blitzes because you don't want some guy looping around from one spot to another and then leaving a running lane wide open. You can't really, you know, if you have to bring an extra guy into the box to help against the run, it limits the coverages you can run. You can't, it's one less guy the quarterback has to account for in coverage sometimes. So that, you know, that's something that makes it tricky. And then the receiver position, you know, a guy who can get separation forces the quarterback, limits the number of tight window throws the quarterback has to make, limits the number of difficult throws into, you know, the difficult throws the quarterback has to make. So those are all things. So I think really if the Jets draft anybody on offense, it could help Darnold. And, you know, I think that there are some areas where the Jets have done a good job. I think there are other areas where the Jets have not done such a good job. If you're asking me right now, I think the Jets need to do more, though, to help their quarterback. I think there's more on this young quarterback's plate than I'm comfortable with right now. I think right now, if where things stand, and this is, you know, the draft is one of the, there could be, you know, a surprise cut in training camp. There could be, you know, late signing here or there. But I think in general, the draft is really your last chance to add pieces to the puzzle for your team that year. It's the last thing you can really count on. And I think that there's still probably a little too, there's too much on Sam Darnold's plate right now. The path for the Jets can have a successful 2019, but that path goes through Sam Darnold being really, really good. Now, he's going to have to be good. I'd like to get to a point where Sam Darnold just being effective, Sam Darnold being good, is a pathway for the Jets to be effective in 2019, to be a good team in 2019. I'd like to get there. So I think there's still some work to be done. When you're talking about the offensive line, even the receiver position is not horrible. It's not terrible, but I think you could still stand to add a piece or two there. I think they've done a good job. Bell certainly will help them out. I think Crowder will help them out. I think you have some decent receivers on the roster. I don't think it's a dire situation in terms of targets. I think you've added one of the premium backs in the league. But I think up front is really where you're looking, because, you know, first of all, the Jets were, I think by any measure, one of the worst run blocking teams in the league last year. I mean, the number of times their backs were stuffed for no gain or a loss, one of the highest rates in the league, if not the highest, one of the highest totals in the league, if not the highest. And also just, you know, they got to get better at protection. You know, they've got some tackles who are okay. Osemele is going to help, I think. I think even in a down year last year for him, he was pretty good in pass protection, but the other spots are problem areas. They got to figure out something long-term as well for the offensive line. So, you know, I think Sam Darnold's a guy who would really, was going to, no matter who they pick on the offensive line, he's a guy who could really benefit. Locked On Jets podcast, talking about players on the roster today who could benefit from the draft, depending on who the Jets pick. Going to stay on the offensive side of the football, and I think that this is a deep year at the wide receiver position. I think this is a very good wide receiver class. I've talked about this on some other shows, some other episodes of this podcast, and I think that, you know, you get to the third round. Jets don't have a second round pick right now. They won't unless they trade down from number three overall. But there are so many good receivers this year that somebody who usually would go in the second round is going to fall into the third round for the Jets, and it could potentially really help this team out. Now, will it be next year? I mean, they could get some guys who might be able to contribute as rookies. It would be more of a long-term play. I mean, you want to invest in this is a year where you want to invest in the receiver position, I think, because you're not going to see a class like this probably for a while. Now, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I haven't studied the 2020 class or what the 2021 class could look like. So, I mean, I don't know how strong, but just from what I know about these, I mean, this is the best class we've seen in probably 5 years. So I would not anticipate another class this strong next year. It's, you know, kind of an educated guess. But I think, you know, a guy who would really benefit from the Jets adding another target would be Robbie Anderson. And I think some of the things the Jets have done are going to help him out already, like the addition of Bell. You know, I think Bell is going to be the guy other defenses key on to try and take away. And you commit an extra guy to the box against Bell. You know, you key on Bell. You're leaving the deep part of the field exposed. And who's a guy who's good at running deep routes? That's Robbie. So, you know, I think he certainly would benefit from that. But I think when you watch his career, you watch what he does, when you watch his skill set, I mean, this is a guy who can be a really good complementary piece. And I don't want to put too much of the offense on him. I think he's the type of guy who operates best when, you know, just when you talk about what his skill set is, when you talk about his physical build, he's a guy who operates best as kind of a complementary piece, a guy who you can, who, if you forget about him, that's when he beats you. That's when he beats you. You know, if he, you're forcing too much on him, if you're putting too much on his plate, he may struggle a little bit. You know, you've seen that in some of the games where the other teams put their best corner on him. You look at the last 2 years, he's kind of struggled when he's gone up against some of the elite corners in the league. Those are games where he tends to struggle. So, you know, if you can add another receiver and, you know, a receiver and Herndon, you know, if Herndon developing could certainly help in this area as well, a guy who can maybe, you know, we'll see how effective Herndon will be running the seam in Adam Gase's system. You know, a guy who can maybe draw some attention deep middle of the field, leave Robbie alone on the outside. But if you add another receiver who can really focus attention, and you, I think the more attention is paid to other people, the more effective Robbie is going to be. So I think that that's certainly an area where the Jets could be helped. And I think the Jets are not that far off from being like one of those offenses. I think this is the type of quarterback Sam's going to be, where you just spread it around. Where, you know, if they add a couple more weapons here, that could be the type of offense where you just spread, you know, they have so many pieces, they have so many different guys who play different styles, you can do a little bit of everything. You know, you have a deep threat, you have some guys in the middle, you have some guys on the outside, you have some guys underneath, guys good with the ball in their hands. I mean, they're not that far away from really having a really good state, from having a really good stable of skill players. So you know, that's something certainly something worth watching. Now, you know, will they get a guy who's a contributor day one in round three? I don't know, but I think it's plausible with this year's receiver class, and I think it's something I would look at. You know, staying on the offensive side of the ball, I think if the Jets draft a center, a guy who I think could really be helped out would be Brian Winters. And, you know, Winters' career has been up and down, and frankly, it's probably been more down than up. I don't think he's been that great since he signed the new contract 2 years ago. He was coming off a pretty good 2016, pretty good contract year. Not a great career before that. So, you know, 2016 kind of stands out as the best year of his career. Kind of struggled since then, but I think it's also, you also have to be fair here. The center position has been abominable for the Jets the last 2 years, and I don't think that's helped. Now, Winters is not my kind of, I will say this, is Winters is not my kind of offensive lineman because he gets pushed around too easily. I mean, he just frustrates me. He gets manhandled too easily. But part of the problem is that the Jets have also had centers who have been thrown around too easily. And I feel like you could live with one of those guys. You can live with that guy as your right guard if you have a sturdy center. You know, if you have a center who doesn't get thrown around. I feel like then maybe you can live with that a little bit better on your right guard. Winters is mobile. He's athletic. I think, you know, he's the type of guy he's shown some ability when you pull him. You know, guys who move, they tend to work better they tend to work reasonably well on zone plays. So maybe he's a type of guy, if you protect him enough, if you put him the right pieces around him, he'd have a better time. He'd have an easier time excelling. I mean, I think, in fairness to him, I've watched some of these games, and even Harrison late in the year, where I felt, especially when Harrison was in late in the year, where I've kind of felt bad for Winters, because I felt like there were instances where Harrison was really kind of hanging him out to dry, where essentially Harrison's getting manhandled, so Winters has to help, and then Winters misses an assignment that breaks late for him because he's busy helping Harrison. So, I mean, I think that this is a... Look, I've said enough about the center position. I'm probably going to continue talking about this. It's a really important spot for the Jets to fix. And they've left themselves in a tough spot because it's not clear they're going to be able to address it in the draft. But I think it's getting a good center in here. It's not going to fix the offensive line, but it's going to help. And it could residually help a guy like a Brian Winters, I think. Locked On Jets podcast, talking about players on the Jets who may benefit from the draft today. And we're going to move to the defensive side of the ball, and I'll bring up a guy who's a bit of a lightning rod within the fan base, a guy who, a very polarizing player within the fan base, I mean, one of the more polarizing players within the fan base, but I think Leonard Williams could really benefit quite a bit from the NFL draft, and I think he could benefit in any number of ways if the Jets go one of two directions. I think an edge rusher will help him out. An edge rusher will certainly help him out because, I mean, I've watched him the last couple of years, and I think part of the reason he's not putting up the big numbers is just, I mean, part of it just is the way he's been deployed, where he's been deployed in a spot where he's going to get double teamed frequently. But I mean, part of it, he's just far and away the big threat for the Jets up front. The Jets have not had a quality edge rusher on this football team, well, since before Leonard Williams was outside of. I mean, the closest thing the Jets have had to a big-time edge rusher, I think, since in the last decade was probably 2015 when they played Wilkerson on the edge a lot. They essentially had Wilkerson playing defensive end as an edge guy a bunch, and he had a big year. But the Jets have not really had a big-time traditional edge threat in a very long time. And I think that if the Jets get that, especially if you're talking third overall, there are going to be some opportunities to add a big-time prospect. Maybe that's the guy who draws the focus of blocking schemes. Maybe that leaves Leonard Williams one-on-one more. And they get, you know, that's just the type of thing that's going to, I think, could certainly make his life much easier. I think it's the type of thing that could really, I'm not promising it. I mean, I'm not gonna put myself out on a limb here and say that guarantee Leonard Williams becomes a double-digit sack guy. The Jets add an edge guy in here. But I think that the more pieces you have, the easier it is to produce, because it means you're not the focal point anymore. I think Leonard Williams, the numbers have not been there for him. Part of that's on him. Look, part of it, I don't think he had a good 2018. I will say that. I don't think he had a good 2018. But I think he had a better 2017 than the numbers would indicate. I think part of the issue is just, part of it's the way he was deployed, part of it's just the Jets had not had enough talent up front, so I think that could help him. But I think if the Jets draft Quinnen Williams, that's another thing that could really help him, because then you have, again, it's a similar concept, playing out a little differently, but essentially you have three interior offensive linemen. You have the center and the two guards. So if you have Quinnen Williams in there with Leonard Williams, that is your two interior defensive linemen. Well, it's three against two. So that means only one of them can be double-teamed by interior linemen. The way the Jets work now, Leonard Williams is going to see most of the double-teams. You add Quinnen Williams to the mix, Quinnen Williams is going to see his fair share of double-teams, which means Leonard Williams is going to be able to work one-on-one with a lot of guys. So that'll help him out. So I think, you know, either Quinnen Williams, I think there are some other good interior linemen when you're talking Oliver. I mean, there's some other quality prospects, but I think either on the edge or the defensive line, you had a blue chip prospect there, Leonard Williams. I would not be surprised to see his numbers go up substantially. I would not be surprised to see him get back to the Pro Bowl. I think he could have that kind of impact, because at the end of the day, Leonard Williams, it's not like Leonard Williams is a bad player. And I think that's one of the things that kind of gets lost. Is you're a little disappointed with his production when you think about the hype he got when he came out, but it's not like he's a bad player. He's a good player. He's a good player, borderline Pro Bowler. So I think he could benefit from there. And then finally, this is going to be tough, because this is not a great year at this position. It's corner. If the Jets draft a corner, and I don't, again, this is not a great corner class. This is a very good receiver class. It's a good edge class. It's not a good corner class. But I think Trumaine Johnson could be helped out just from the standpoint. Now, I mean, here's the thing, is I don't know if Trumaine Johnson's finished. I mean, I'm worried he may be finished. When you talk about corners as they approach the age of 30, it could go one of two ways. You know that their production, they're probably not going to stay at the level they were at. There's going to be a decline. But is it a gentle slope or is it a cliff? Sometimes it's a cliff. Hello, Darrell Revis. Sometimes it's a gentle slope. So, well, part of it's a leap of faith. Part of it, you're hoping he'll bounce back after, you know, not just one bad year, but I mean, his last year with the Rams was not great. But I think one of the things that could help him, if he does bounce back a little bit, it becomes more of a gentle slope, his decline, would be not having to be, you know, if the Jets could find, and I don't know if they can, because this is not a great year at corner, but if they could find a guy, and again, this might be just too much to ask, a rookie who could maybe shadow the other team's best receiver and try and get Trumaine the easier matchups, might be too much to ask. I got to be honest with you with this class. Not too much to ask in some years. This year, you might have to find a guy who's better than a lot of us are expecting him to be. Maybe he's out there, though. That's why I'm bringing up Trumaine, because if you can find a rookie who you can trust to follow the other team's best receiver, I don't know who it is. Maybe you like some of these corners better than I do. I'm big on a lot of guys this year. I'm big on a lot of positions. I'm not big at corner, but I always like to account for the possibility that I could be wrong, because sometimes I am wrong. Believe it or not, sometimes I am wrong. So if there is a corner out there, a corner out there who projects as the number one, who could step in and give Trumaine easier matchups, maybe, just maybe, you can start to get something out of him. That's the one I feel the least conviction on, because I don't know who the prospects are, and I'm not sure about this player, but I think it's conceivable. I think it's conceivable, so that's why I name him. That's all for our show today. I appreciate you listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify. Leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Have a great Monday, everybody. Hope you enjoy the national championship game tonight if you're a basketball fan, and we'll be back again tomorrow.